Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
God is amazing. Did you know that? God is amazing. Just the things he did for us. Salt Creek is amazing. How the people came together to do this in the pandemic. I'm not sure that there were many people outside of about a handful around here that thought that this would ever come off. And thanks to an amazing God and super amazing people, it did. Before I begin, let me pray. Almighty God, Father of all, the one who knows of our birth, life, and death even before our birth, I ask you for your love for all the many hurting children in the world that have no earthly father that cares. You are a special father, a dad that loves all your children, regardless of age, but especially the young. I pray that they know and understand they can talk to you anytime, any place, not just in a church building. To be a top preacher like Pastor David is required that preaching be teaching, something Pastor David does quite well. I would refer to him as a preacher teacher. On the other hand, I consider myself to be a teacher preacher. And if you don't believe that, ask some of my former students. This sermon lesson will be quite different from what you're used to. It is a one-man, one-act play with seven characters. Two will speak. Believe it or not, one of them is God. I know it doesn't happen this way, but it does because I wrote it. And the other person is Robert, a young man that's between 8 and 12. We'll run it for four years. In addition to the main participants, we also have Martin, who's the youth pastor, mother, uncle, cousin, and brother, five others. And we're going to follow Robert from his 8th year through the 12th, as I mentioned. And the play uses several places where foreshadowing is used. And you may remember, should ask Ben there, but foreshadowing is an indication of a person or something may occur in the future. Jesus is foreshadowed in the Bible. The sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ is heavenly foreshadowed in the biblical account of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. Also, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." That'd be John 5:39. He also said, "Everything written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And that would be from Luke 24:44. Some of you may relate to Robert in some way. I have known Robert my entire life. And we'll follow him, as I said, for 4 years. Robert is hurt. Robert is angry. And Robert is confused. Many of those around him consider him to be a cipher, C-I-P-H-E-R. My guess in here, nobody could give me a definition for it. I'd never even heard of the word until 1975. And I'm going to give you a definition. As with most English language words, cipher has many definitions. And the definition I'm going to use for this is a person with no personality. A nothing. Well, everybody listening to my voice knows that God doesn't make a nothing. But that's how the people viewed Robert, even his family. There's a short story written by Gene Miser, and it's titled Cipher in the Snow. In 1973, a 21-minute short was created by a college class. It's an excellent movie. It has message for everyone, even in today's, whether it be somebody, I wouldn't do any earlier in seventh, to adulthood. As our story begins, many years ago with Robert at the age of 8, Robert was looking for a dad's love. His father was killed in an auto accident the previous year, while drunk, on 82nd Street in Portland. In his mind, he felt that maybe his dad really wasn't dead. Maybe he just left town because he and his mother were fighting. He never saw the body. He never saw the funeral. Never went to the funeral. Never went to the funeral home. Maybe his dad will come back. And then after a period of time, he stopped thinking, well, maybe a new dad will come into his life. A dad that would be like other kids had. One that loved him, that would play with him, maybe even take him on a vacation to the Oregon coast. The Oregon coast. A place Robert would not even see until he was 2 months from his 16th birthday. God, why did you take my father from me? In church, I heard that you would demand obedience, or your wrath would come down on me. Not quite sure what wrath is, but it sure doesn't sound good. Who do I ask? You never answer me. What did I do to make you hate me? My son, I don't hate you. Why would you think such a thing? Because you took my father away from me. My mother is always angry. My brother hates me. I have no friends that I can talk to except my cousin Steve. He's 2 years younger than me. He just doesn't know. I know you hate me because other kids have dads and moms that love them and do things together. I know you hate me because the kids in my school, along with the kids in my school, because they don't have fathers. You did give them a mother that listens to them when they're hurt. I guess maybe, just maybe, I'm the only one you really hate. My son, I don't hate you. And you can talk to me anytime you want. I want the best for you. You don't have to be in a church building. You can talk to me while you're in your room, while you're out riding your bike. Well, you never show it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to someone who cares. I care about you, my son. I care. Early in the summer of his 8th year, Robert and Stephen were playing in the basement in a woodpile, and they saw a dog outside, so they went outside and petted the dog and played with him for a while and then went back to the woodpile. After a few minutes, Robert's mother came out, screamed at him to get out of the basement. They came out of the basement, and she proceeded to scream at them, "What did you do with the dog's collar?" "What dog's collar?" "We didn't have a dog's collar." "You took it off the dog." "No." At that time, she started slapping Robert. She slapped him in the face several times and then began to spank him. Sent Stephen home, and Robert went to his room and silently screamed at God. "My son, I don't hate you, and you can talk to me anytime you want. I want the best for you." "Well, you never show it." "Some God you are. Some father you are. Now my mother blames Steve and I for stealing that stupid dog's collar. What would I do with a dog's collar anyway? I guess I could put it on my brother Daryl's neck while he was sleeping. That'd just make two people angry at me." "You could make things better, but you never do." "I hate you." "I know that you really don't hate me, but you are very angry right now. If you would like, I will listen to you. I love you." "Yeah, sure, just like you stepped in when my mother slapped my face." "No, thank you. Go find some kids you really care about. I know you don't care about me." "I care about you, my son, and I love you." Now we're in the following spring, and the boy's uncle told them that he was going to take them fishing at the trout farm east of Portland. Now fathers took their kids fishing, but at the river. They were going to go to the trout farm. We didn't want to go. As usual, we had to. Great. Now we're at that stupid trout farm. Neither Steve nor... Okay, Mark. Or John. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Now we're at this stupid trout farm. Neither of us want to be here. Neither of us have any intention of putting that slimy worm on a hook and have its slimy guts all over our hand. Boy, was Uncle Al angry. He called us names I'd never heard before. I did wonder if swearing was a second language for him. He also tried to slap me, but I stepped aside. When others looked at him, we went to his car and went home with him. He was swearing the entire way. That was the last time he ever took me anywhere, and that would be our last confrontation for 6 years. God, why do you let these things happen to me? Why does everyone think they can hit me? As usual, you were not there when I needed you. I hate you, God. I care, my son. I care. I hurt when my young children are treated badly by adults. Yes, yeah, sure you do. Every day of my life. Well, I finally made it to double digits. I'm 10 years old now. For my birthday, my mom told us she was going to take us to San Francisco. 3 months, Daryl and I and her were going to go to San Francisco. We're going to ride the train down, and I'll bet the other people in my class had never been on a train and had definitely never been to San Francisco. 3 whole months. Didn't know who we were going to stay with, but we're going to be there 3 whole months. Beginning of June, we were on the train heading down. My mother finally told Daryl and I that we were staying with the parents of Martin, our youth pastor. He said he would be down the first 3 weeks of August, 3 whole weeks. Well, God, maybe I don't hate you as much as I thought I did. I know this is going to be the best ever summer for Daryl and I, best ever. Why did it take so long for you to allow us to go on vacation like other people? Well, maybe not like other people. Most people don't go to San Francisco for 3 months in the summer. Maybe I'm not as angry as I was at other times, but I still think you think I'm not worth anything. You know, my mother tells me all the time I'm completely worthless. Males are completely worthless. Men are worthless, worthless, worth nothing. Is that true? I know a few dads that love their kids, and they're not worthless. At least, I don't think they are. I wish we'd give me a dad so I could find out for myself. If you won't give me a dad, just have a man come in my life that cares enough about me to just sit and talk. And we could do things together. He might even take me to a movie or a Beaver baseball game. I heard at church that you're all powerful. Why can't you put a man in my life that would care about me? I only need one, God, only one. I care about you, my son, I care. I am always with you, and you can always talk to me. Remember, my son, I know what is best for you. If that's true, why is my life such a mess? I'm only 10 years old, and I know you really don't care about me. I'm going to be dead before I'm 21, so I know I'll worry about you then. You don't care about me. I care, my son, I care. I'm always with you. This has been a great summer so far. We spent days riding the cable cars, wandering all over San Francisco. We went to Ghirardelli Square, the docks, the hills. Now we only have August left. But best of all, Martin will be here tomorrow and stay for 3 weeks. What a great time Daryl and I will have. Looks like you finally decide I'm worthy of something good in my life. Maybe you really do care about me. What could go wrong this late in the summer? Martin is taking Daryl out sightseeing every day. I want to go. God, I thought that you cared about me. Why can't I go? I knew it. You are messing with me. You really do hate me, and you don't care about me at all. I care, my son. I am always with you. You are young, and you do not know the ways of the world. Yeah, sure. Martin takes Daryl places when we're in Portland, and then when we're in San Francisco. I was right all along. You hate me. I care about you, my son. I care. I am always with you. One day, you will understand. Tomorrow, Martin leaves. He didn't take me with him even once. The last 3 weeks have been lousy. Mom is angry. Daryl is moody. And I spend my days crying and screaming at you. Well, not so others can hear. But I'm sure you do. Well, we're home. School starts in 5 days. There's one good thing about going back to school. Mrs. DeWermitt's going to be my teacher again this year. She likes me. I know she does. Please, God, let this be a fun year this year with her in her class. Could you like me? Maybe just a little? No, God, you can't do that. I know Mr. DeWermitt is sick. But you can cure him. Mrs. DeWermitt just told us she's leaving us to take care of him at home. Well, God, you did it again, didn't you? Mrs. D is my favorite teacher ever. I'll bet you never put another teacher like her in my life. You can make Mr. D well, but no, you won't do that. I hate you, and I know you hate me, or you wouldn't keep doing these things, messing up my life. I finally have someone who listens. And you take her away. My son, believe me, I love you, and there's no way I could hate you. Remember Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We art the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hands. Some potter you are, I'm all full of cracks. Why did you make me so defective and others so perfect? I give you free will, and the devil takes control of you with your anger. I know you think I am just doing these things to hurt you, but I love you, my son. I love you always. One day you will understand. 1 Corinthians 10:13 states, "No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. My son, I love you above all else. I am always with you. One day you will understand. Well, it makes no difference since I'll be dead before I'm 21. The rate things are happening to me. If I don't die by 21, I'll be in my 60s before I ever understand your ways. You've taken my father, my favorite teacher. I have no male that will work with me on anything. Do you know, I don't even know how to throw or hit a baseball or softball, or even shoot a basketball. The kids at school laugh at me. My goal is to one day, at least win one all-star in a ball game. Just one. The kids laugh at me, and you don't care. My son, I love you. And above all else, I care, my son. I care. I am always with you. You will understand one day. Wow. Last 2 years have gone so fast. Fifth grade without Mrs. DeWermitt was okay, but not great. I entered the sixth grade and was told by my mother that school is closing. We're moving further into Northeast Portland. I have to change schools. All the kids from my school are going to another school, But no, I can't go there. I have to go to this other school. And for those of you under 40, at that time, there was no junior high school or middle school. All schools were 1 through 8. Now, at 12 years of age, and no male except Uncle Al has ever taken me anywhere, any place. Do you understand? I'm not sure you do, God. It hurts. Not even one church member, not one, or pastor has ever taken me anywhere. However, that would be changing. Martin asked me if I were interested in going to see a movie. Boy, was I. My brother was preparing for college the next year, and I was not going places with Martin. Now I thought I was the big kid, and Martin's going to take me instead. Well, God, I guess you were right. My day has come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I prayed so hard for this day to happen. Okay, I screamed a lot too. But finally, remember my son, I am always with you. Listen for my voice. My mother said that Martin had just called. He would be by at 5:45. I told her, well, I'll eat at 4 o'clock so I could be ready. This is so exciting, God. Now I know that you really don't hate me. I wonder what movie we're going to see. Martin said that we could stop for a Coke after the movie, if I didn't fill up on popcorn. This is great. We're now on the way to the movie. Finally, finally, someone cares enough to take me someplace. Wow, the theater's almost full, except for the front rows. I guess that's kind of like church, huh? We moved to the front rows. Cartoons are great. Better than Saturday matinee. The movie is starting. It was like I had died and gone to heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you. Until about an hour later, when I felt a hand on my knee. Then I felt a hand moving up to my thigh. This is not good. I heard a voice say, get up, go. I jumped up, said I had to go to the bathroom, and went to the lobby. For the first time in my life, I did not smell the fresh popcorn. I did not know how long I was out there, considering whether I should walk or run home. It was getting dark, and it was quite a distance. After the movie, I actually went back to the seats, but I moved over a couple of seats. After the movie, we returned directly to my house since it was getting late. When I arrived home, the lights were off. My mother was in bed. Good. I made my way to the bedroom, closed the door, and I screamed in silence at you once again, God. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? My son, that voice you heard say that tell you to get up and go was me. I was with you the entire time. But why? Why did he do it? What did he do to Daryl? God, I don't understand. He's one of yours. But why Daryl? Why me? No, no, he is the devil's emissary, not mine. He fell into the grasp of the devil and said one day, and devil, and one day he will be judged. It is written in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? But you could have stopped him. Will I ever have to see him again? I have so many questions. I can't tell my mother because she thinks he's just a half a step below Jesus himself. She will again call me a liar and slap me. God, I'm going to put this in the back of my mind and never speak it again, at least for 50 years. God, I was angry as I walked to the lobby. I felt that you had left me again. Remember, my son, I am always with you. Listen for my voice. I am always with you, and we can talk anytime. Father, I was so afraid. This is something I can't explain to someone who has not had that fear. I am so thankful that I not only heard the voice, but I listened. I now feel that I have someone I can talk to about any and all things. I know that my road is long and hard. This is my seventh grade year. New school, new peers, new teacher. Please be with me, Father. Father, will my life always be as difficult as the past few years? Will I ever find someone who cares? Father, will this happen again to me or to those I love? Will Daryl ever recover? Will I always be afraid? In the Bible, you will see that I have said over 300 times, "Do not be afraid." If it were not true, I would not have said it. Remember, my son, I am always with you. Listen for my voice. I will never leave you, even during the difficult, dark days of hurt, anger, and frustration. Closing prayer, Father, I know that you taught Robert much over the past many years, just as you have all your children. We, your children, know that we should listen for your voice as you speak to us. The Bible contains so much of your word, but we close our ears. Father, I pray that just as you did for Robert, have peace with us. We know that we are sinners, and you sent your son Jesus to set us free. We love you, and we know that you'll be with us always, and we are eternally grateful and thankful for this. I don't know why kids and adults have to suffer at the hands of others. As one who has been there, I ask that survivors, young, old, talk to any and all that will listen. My brother, Daryl, did not. I did not. Abuse happens to males, females, kids, adults. I was lucky I heard the voice. My brother did not, and put his pain down with drugs and alcohol. Father, I thank you every day that I was able to get away because I listened to your voice. I'm going to recommend a couple of books. One of them is called Cry Out by Phil Quinn. The other one is Renegade Saint by Phil Quinn. This book is Cry Out Inside the Terrifying World of an Abused Child. This one does not have anything about sexual abuse. I'm going to have a drawing next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday night, if anybody would like one of the books. Requirements. You have a 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th grader coming in this year, and you agree to read it with them. I used it with my 8th graders the last 10 years I taught. It is brutal. But they need to know things like this happen to their friends, to my brother. Unless you are in police, nurse, EMTs, this is going to be a shocking book. I sat in on CPS, which is Child Protective Services. I was the only non-staff member, and when I was on the Foster Parent Association as president. And I can tell you, it gets a lot worse than what you read in the book. And this is not pretty. But if you're interested, put your name, phone number, and drop it in the little container, and I'll have it here a week from tonight. Just one thing I want to mention, last thing. These are numbers that I have. These numbers jump all around depending on who you talk to. This is from the National Association of Adult Survivors. Before 18, 1 in 3 girls are sexually abused, 1 in 5 boys. By the way, there are 10 registered sex offenders in Dallas. There's a half million in the United States that are sex offenders. Of that, 80 to 100,000 are someplace. The agencies don't know where. One in five will be solicited on the internet before they're 18. But 95% of child abuse is preventable through education. By the way, those of you that don't know, my full name is Carl Robert Crispin.